Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Wednesday, September 17th. I'm Taylor Heckert. Petersburg's Borough Assembly has two open seats in next month's municipal election. Five people are running for the three-year terms, and KFSK is airing interviews with the Assembly candidates all week. One of the candidates is 55-year-old Raleigh Cook. He's a builder who works on boats, houses, and roads. He has lived in Petersburg for most of his life. Cook sat down with KFSK's Olivia Rose to talk about why he's decided to run for Assembly for the first time.
I complain a lot about how other people are doing things, so figured it's time for me to quit complaining and step up and help. Most of my kids are grown, and I have a daughter that lives here, and six of them scattered everywhere. I would love to have my kids nearer, but a lot of it's just watching the youth leave this town is upsetting to me, and we got to figure out some way to keep them here. And I don't see that happening with the current people that are here running the town, so give it a shot, see if I can do better.
Can you tell us what makes you qualified for the role?
I don't know that anybody is qualified for politics until they learn the hard facts of politics, but I just have a lot of diverse talents that I feel can be helpful to the city, and a better role than just fixing people's stuff is maybe trying to help do things with the town. I'm not really a politician, so I really can't say much about it, but see where I go. Trying to learn Robert's rules of order is going to be a challenge for me.
What would your priorities be if you were elected to the Assembly?
As far as just the issues are that people are looking at, facing, I think most of it centers around our youth and our schools. The cost of living here is atrocious. And where do they live? We got to have more housing here that's a little bit easier to afford. There's bound to be some way to do that. I don't know how to do that, but there's got to be. But if you go into something like this thinking you know everything, you usually don't go very far. You try to surround yourself with people that know more than you, as far as I know about leading anyway. And just try to help this town grow. I'm not sure what the ratio of age is in this town, but it seems like there's a lot of us older folks and there are younger folks. And towns don't grow with just older folks. So trying to help the housing shortages that I see is one of them. Trying to figure out better ways to spend our money instead of increasing taxes would be, I think, a priority of mine. It seems like we have a lot of money that comes into our coffers and it just goes out really quickly. We should be able to manage it a little better, it seems to me. I don't know you don't know these things until you get there. You can guess and you can complain about it, but until you sit in the seat, you don't know.
Can you tell me about one time you think the Assembly got something right in the last year or so? Something that you agree with?
They do a lot of business in there, and a lot of it I'm not privy to. Some of the things that I do agree with is selling some of the properties that the borough owns. We don't make any tax revenue off a property that we own. We can rent it out. We don't make near as much money if they can't build on it and grow. If a company can't grow, they can't create more wealth, and they can't create more tax base. The borough owning property doesn't help our taxes, that we keep wanting more and more money from people. You got to give them a place to build a business so they can grow. So that's one of the things that I do agree with lately, that they have sold some of the properties and have allowed businesses to start building. So that would be one of the things that I agree with.
What about a time in the last year or so when the Assembly got something wrong that you disagree with?
Probably the opposite of letting businesses grow. They've stopped companies that wanted to expand their properties and build roads and places to put housing, and they didn't allow it to happen. And I did not agree with that. They've sold properties and nothing's happened with it. And that I don't understand either. But then again, until you're in the seat, you don't know why they chose this over that. So, like I said, I'm not a very good politician. And I am busy a lot. So I got to change the way I do things.
In a nutshell, what do you want for Petersburg?
Petersburg was founded on resource extraction. They came here because the fish was here, came here because there was logging. There's opportunities for both of those to continue, but they're fading. The logging's already gone, but it may come back. I just want to see Petersburg stay here. And tourism is a fact. It's going to happen in this town, but it's not something that we can sustain our way of life with. The people that live here build things, they grow things, their families, their businesses. There's 200 and some businesses sitting in that harbor. without them, this town doesn't exist. We got to help these people stay here, help our town grow. That's all I can do is try to help. I have a passion for this town, and I'd like to use it to help it. That's about all I can say about it. Someday I just need to learn how to control my emotions.
That was Raleigh Cook talking with Campus K's Olivia Rose. Cook is running for the Petersburg Borough Assembly in the October 7th municipal election. Campus K will be airing interviews with each Assembly candidate every day this week. Those interviews and more information about Petersburg's municipal election will be up on our website, campusk.org. A digital safety expert is in Petersburg this week to provide some internet-savvy advice. Katie Greer is from Boston. Her professional background is working with law enforcement, but she spent over a decade giving keynote speeches on proper internet use. Several local organizations partnered to bring her to town. Greer says overall, her message is to get people thinking more critically about how, when, and why they use technology. She says people of all ages suffer from unhealthy internet use.
Look, technology is so thinking awesome, right? It's the best. It's fun and it's educational and it's productive and like all the things. So I don't want to be like a curmudgeon about it, like, oh, these devices are ruining our lives, right? But I think that we have gotten to a place where it's become unhealthy. Like, we rely on these too much. And so we need to kind of pump the brakes a little.
One tip she has for managing household technology is actually to put it away. She suggests finding a brief time during the day, every day, when all devices in the house are off and put away. And no, she says bedtime does not count.
It's really important for our brains to get a break from this stuff. Like, we have studies that show us how important it is for us to put this stuff down. And it gives us the time to, like, reconnect and refocus. And, yeah, I just think it's really good practice.
Greer says she's here to help educate the community and share practical tips and tricks with attendees of her talks. John Clute Painter is the technology director at the school district. He says the sessions can help provide tools for navigating digital platforms, from new technology to social media. He says Greer's approach is less lecture and more conversation, and Greer agrees. Greer is presenting to grade school students during the day. A big piece for advice for students is learning how to be better consumers of information by determining the validity of what you see online. And that applies to adults, too, especially with more content generated by AI.
There's so much stuff out there. Like, being able to parse through it all is really, really, it's like a critical life skill right now.
She says although the internet can be intimidating or overwhelming, she believes it can enrich lives when used properly. There are a few free public sessions for adults in the community to hear from Greer this week. There's an event for guardians and caregivers tonight at 6 p.m. in the middle school auditorium with childcare provided at the school. Then tomorrow, there will be a question-answer roundtable discussion with Greer at the same place and time. There's also a community event scheduled with Greer tomorrow morning at the John Hanson Senior Hall. Lunch is provided, and attendees can RSVP online at petersburgwave.org. The state of Alaska is overhauling the long-term plans for its three-state forests to boost revenue from a new source, carbon credits. In Haines, it became clear this summer that doing so could mean eliminating long-standing logging restrictions. That news is sparking concern among locals who had hoped the state's carbon offset push would lead to more protections, not less. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
On a clear, warm evening back in August, about two dozen people filed into a wooden building on the banks of the Chilkat River in the village of Klukwan.
I just want to thank everyone for coming out tonight on a beautiful night when I know it's fishing season.
That's Ashley List, a deputy director within the state's Division of Forestry and Fire Protection. She was in the area to discuss the Haines State Forest during three public meetings, including one in Klukwan. For more than two decades, a long-range plan has divided the forest into parcels based on use. In some spots, that means just timber. In others, wildlife habitat or recreation is primary, and timber harvest is restricted. But that's about to change, Liz says.
What we're proposing is to allow timber harvest within those land use classifications while still meeting that primary purpose of...
The shift is the result of a years-long push by Governor Mike Dunleavy to make more money off state land. That includes an effort to increase timber sales in Alaska's three state forests. But it also entails rewriting each forest management plan to allow the state to sell so-called carbon credits. The state would do so by leaving certain timber stands uncut that, at least in theory, would otherwise be harvested. Those uncut trees store carbon, generating credits. The state would then sell the credits to companies looking for ways to reduce their planet-warming emissions. In Haines, the idea goes that if the entire forest is open to timber harvest, it's also all eligible for carbon credits. Geneva Preston is a state forest planner who also spoke at the August meeting.
If a section of forest is described as available for timber harvest and then is not harvested, that's where the value for the carbon offset project becomes a possibility.
Dunleavy's push comes at a tumultuous time for carbon markets, which surged in the early 2020s as companies around the world set ambitious goals to eliminate or offset their entire carbon footprints by 2030. But it wasn't long before the market took a major downturn amid intensifying scrutiny of carbon projects, many of which allow companies to burnish their climate reputations without actually reducing emissions. Trevor Fulton manages Alaska's carbon offset program.
We're definitely in a little bit of a slump right now in terms of the voluntary carbon markets. It's been a slow recovery.
But he says the state anticipates higher demand as companies scramble to make good on their climate targets. That, he thinks, makes now a good time to get involved. The idea was met with fierce resistance during last month's meeting. Members, leaders, and staff of the Chilkat Indian Village in Klukwan raised alarm about the prospect of removing protections that would open the entire forest to logging. Jones Hotch is the tribe's president.
Trees are environmental solutions. They help meet water quality standards by reducing soil erosion and polluted stormwater runoff. And trees are an economic solution. They reduce flooding and runoff for less money than engineered solutions.
Others say the tribe has not been adequately included in the planning process. David Strong Jr. sits on the Chilkat Indian Village Tribal Council.
What do we get to say about our backyard? Is that part of the plan? Because so far I read this plan and I don't see any plans to hear about what we feel about it.
State officials say revamping the state forest long-range plan is in its early stages. The new version hasn't even been drafted yet. And once it is, the public will have a chance to weigh in. They also say that while some current logging restrictions would be removed, all future timber harvests still have to meet other existing guidelines and protections. They also have to go through public processes themselves. Plus, the intention is not to clear-cut the entire forest, says Preston. Instead, it's to explore how the state could sustainably pursue both timber sales and other goals, like preserving wildlife habitat in the same areas.
And I can only imagine how startling it would be to read a description of a change in policy that would allow timber harvest in places where it's been prohibited in the past. There's no intention to see timber harvest everywhere at once.
The update in Haines is just one step in a long, winding process that already has taken years and could take years longer. The first step is updating each state forest management plan. The state finalized a new plan for the Tanana Valley State Forest and the interior in May. Haines' plan is in progress. Next on the list, the Southeast State Forest, which spans islands including Prince of Wales and Wrangell. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.